suggested. Nothing if not prompt. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Make it today make sense is what we do.
And I'm Kimberly Adams. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Economics on Tap, our Friday ritual. And thank you to those of us who are joining on the YouTube live stream, on Discord, on Twitter. If you're listening later on, wherever you shall roam, we are grateful that you decided to join us.
We are very grateful. That's why we do this, actually. I mean, we do it for the podcast audience, too, but also on Fridays for all y'all, you know.
Yeah, we have fun. Oh, what are you drinking out of that pretty blue mug?
Well, I'm having a cup of coffee because, number one, I was up stupidly early this morning. But number two, I'm solo parenting this weekend. And the 18-year-old has a late-night function, so he's going to be gone. And I have to pick up the 15-year-old at a thing at like 10:30 tonight. And if I'm going to make it, a beer is not in my afternoon plans.
And I don't suppose a nap is an option anywhere in there.
No, I'm not. If I nap, I'm like a two-hour nap guy. And I'm not going to do a two-hour nap at 4 in the afternoon.
I'm a big fan of naps. Big fan of naps.
What are you drinking? You said you had a new recipe, a new cocktail recipe.
Yes, a new cocktail. So when I was in St. Louis, I was having dinner with one of my good friend's mom, and she was like raving about her new favorite old drink, which is called a rusty nail. Have you ever heard of this?
I have heard of those. Never had one. I've heard of them.
Yes. So it's like two parts or three parts whiskey and one part Drambuie, which is a type of liqueur that I had never heard of in my life. And so, yeah, I made one for the first time. I haven't actually tried it yet. So here we go.
Well, you gotta have a sip. Yeah.
That is strong. Wow.
She rolls hard. Yeah, well, three parts whiskey with Drambuie. I'm like, shocking that it's strong. My goodness.
I like it.
That's pretty fun. I think you're going to hear your eyes watering from here.
My eyes are actually watering. That's really funny. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That's really funny.
May I be thus when I'm 71.
There you go. All right, I'll take a quick spin through the comments while you
I recover, and I'll look at what people are drinking in Discord while I regain my vision.
Joan Allen using her brand new Cartier glass for the first time. We got Original Sin Crimson Chaos Cider down in Florida from Megan O'Hare. OG Stone IPA, you go, Christopher Grau, in your OG Cartier glass. Makers Bourbon Manhattan. That's lovely, from Brett Bardo. Oh, and a Yuengling Black and Tan from Stefan Koch. Those are good, too. I like those.
So let's do some news.
Yeah, let's do that.
Look, it's been a super awful week. We are going to deal with some heavy stuff up front, but we do have some fun things. We have a little bit of lightness. Mm-hmm. Going to try to, you know, take the seriousness of the moment, but still, you know, give some hope in the world before we pass you off for the long weekend.
Totally.
I'll
go first. What the hell, right? Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah. Two reasonably quick things. One is an excerpt in the New York Times from a book by Michael Bender about the Trump presidency. It's called "Frankly, We Didn't Win." We did win this election. The inside story of how Trump lost, and it's about when Trump, after the Parkland shootings, decided he wanted to do something about gun control. And here's the exchange that caught my eye. "What are we going to do about assault rifles?" Mr. Trump asked. "Not a damn thing," Mick Mulvaney, his acting chief of staff, replied. "Why?" Trump demanded. "Because," Mr. Mulvaney told him, "you would lose." And this is a guy who controls the entire Republican establishment, and he would lose on an assault ban, which is wild, just wild. Fascinating little glimpse behind the scenes in that article. Number two, last night I'm scrolling through Twitter. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I heard a deep sigh.
Yeah, just because if these are the conversations we know about, how many of the conversations that we don't know about sound exactly the same?
Totally.
And so as terrible as that is, you know, it has to reflect something broader. So there's that.
Yeah, totally agree. It's 100%. The other thing is, I was scrolling through my Twitter last night and I saw a bunch of tweets from the New York Yankees account. I am a Yankees fan. I do not follow their account. I'm not quite that much of a fan. But apparently what had happened was that last night the Yanks and the Tampa Bay Rays took their social media, their Twitter feeds, and turned them into gun safety awareness accounts, tweeting things like, every 3 hours, a young black man dies by gun homicide. Firearms were the leading cause of death for American children and teens in 2020. They did this all night. It was, I think it's a really great way to reach another audience on some of these messages. And I just thought that deserved a little shout out. That's it.
And it's been fascinating to see just like how many people are, you know, refusing to air quotes stay in their lane because too much. Anne Blocker in the YouTube chat says the heat has done it too.
Oh, did they? That's cool.
Yeah. And this is going to take all of us.
So let me ask you this, and I'm going to take us slightly off topic here before we get to the fun part.
Let me have another sip of my strong drink.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Do you think things change this time? And I'm not talking like cataclysmic change. Do we get even incremental change?
I do. I was looking at the tweets from David Hogue, I think his name is. One of the kids from the Parkland shootings. Yeah. And he was saying this time it is going to be different because we're now at a point where the kids who came of age having to go through these active shooter drills are old enough to vote. Kids who've spent their whole lives under this fear of mass shootings, who have experienced them and seen the trauma and been traumatized, they can now vote. They can now be politically active. They have a really interesting way of organizing themselves on social media that's very different. I mean, think back to when TikTok users got together to sort of like make a Trump rally be an empty stadium.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
There's a different group involved, and there's a lot of them. And this is an issue that galvanizes them. Now, yes, we have gerrymandering. We have a Supreme Court that doesn't seem to be on board with these things. Mm-hmm. We have a Senate that seems pretty stuck, but I still have hope in the power of humans and democracy. And I do think this time is going to be different. After Buffalo, we didn't see Mitch McConnell saying, okay, we actually do need to do something. Whether or not that's true, there wasn't even the motions for it. Also, these children themselves, these 10 and 11-year-olds, are going out and telling their stories.
That's the thing.
Devastating. But remember how powerful it was when the Parkland teenagers started speaking out. And now you're having 10 and 11-year-olds speak out about what this is actually doing to them. My mom called me just before the show, and she said that some of the schools in St. Louis were doing the last few days of the year remote because the kids were too scared to go to class. And their parents were too scared to drop them off. And I think this one is so visceral that when Sandy Hook happened, we didn't get a lot of the gory details of what actually went down in as public of a way as we are right now.
It's true.
At least I don't recall that we did. And I think
you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, the 10 and 11-year-old kids on CNN and MSNBC today describing and the accounts in the newspapers are really remarkable. And I think you're right. That's a a witnessing that we didn't get with Sandy Hook. I also think, you know, it's interesting. The Columbine survivors are now 35, right? They've got kids who were 6 and 8, you know, and 10 years old maybe.
Can you imagine being a Columbine survivor and having to send your kid to schools with active shooter drills?
No. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right. Well, okay. I want to believe it's going to be different.
Yeah, that was a really that was a persuasive account. I'm not sure I'm as far down the hopeful path as you are, but I think that was a really good accounting. Thank you for that.
Somebody in the YouTube chat was saying, you know, pointing to this the NRA conference that's happening and this massive protest outside of it with kids yelling at this protest, am I next? You know, kids holding up signs saying, if I'm killed in a school shooting, put my body on the steps of Congress. Come on. That's new. That's new. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mine is a follow-up to a story I talked about earlier this week about the Southern Baptist Convention and that just wide-ranging report on sexual abuse within the church.
Yeah.
And if you recall, one of the things that I mentioned the investigators were calling for was for them to release the list of sexual abusers in the church. And they did. They did. They put out this big, long list. And some of it's redacted. A lot of these names are people who were already convicted of crimes, who were in jail and had been reported in local media or whatever. But they put the Southern Baptist Convention put out a statement and they're like, this is a first step. We have to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, praying for the victims and the survivors. But I actually read through some of these accusations. And there are a lot of little kids involved, a lot of very little kids involved. Yeah. And this is not a short list. So, well, with all of that, there is, I want to give people something to look forward to, possibly, which is that, I know, it's like a possible good thing, which is that there
good, right?
may possibly be a really cool meteor shower over the holiday weekend. So I'm looking at this article in Sky and Telescope, which I didn't even know was a thing. But there is a, let's see, there's a possibility. So the Earth is going through this section of space that has a bunch of meteors. And depending on exactly where we go through, we're either going to get an outburst of meteors or probably not that many. And the scientists are all like up in the air, or up in space, I guess you should say, over whether or not we're actually going to see it. And so it's an excuse for people to go out and look up at the sky. If you've got a clear night, it may be a really great show. And, you know, if you're one of the people who doesn't have to go to work on Monday, might be something nice to do. So there's
that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Drew?
Sip this very slowly.
All right, we're doing this and that today. This or that today. We're going to give Kimberly a chance to recover from the rusty nail.
I'm okay.
Drew Jostad is in charge. Kimberly goes first on all these answers. Let's remember the rules. It's you got to pick this or that. Drew, you may begin.
Coffee or tea?
Tea. Coffee gives me the shakes, but I will drink it when I'm desperate.
Coffee all the way. Coffee all the way. As we can see today.
Would you rather have a pet pig or a pet goat?
You take this one first. I need a minute.
Okay, this is going to make me sound like a horrible person. Pig, because I like pork better and it's yummier.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm not going to keep a pig.
So by that logic, I should have the goat because I do like goat meat. Here's the thing. It's like I think goats are cuter, but they also have really weird eyes. And I hear that pigs are actually very loving pets and like super affectionate and very dog-like. But it's also a pig. And like every time I see people like online who have them, the pigs are like walking around with diapers, which is also not a good look.
Oh,
I'm going to go with the goat. Easy outside. And, you know, as somebody mentioned in the chat, they cut the grass. So
have I told you about that time that a listener in the marketplace named their goat after me? I've told you that story. Right?
No, you have not. Please do.
So this, it's got to be like 10 or 15 years ago. And I've somehow found out that this woman who's a goat herder, farmer, whatever, has named a goat Kai Brisson. I was like, oh, this is so cool. This is amazing. And I mentioned it to people every now and then for a couple of months. And then I go back to check at some point, and the latest entry in her blog, which is now sadly gone, is we had to butcher Kai because he got too aggressive. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. You could really pull some threads from that.
They killed the goat. Anyway, that's my goat story.
Next.
That's my goat story. Drew, save us.
Would you rather work from home for a little less money or work in the office for a little more?
How often? Because that's a key thing. Is it like full-time or part-time? If we're talking about full-time, 5 days a week, I'd work from home for less money. But if we're talking about sort of like a split, but I also like don't think it should, that's the question we should be asking. And I mean, good luck employers continuing to try to do that in this job market.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, so I've actually been in the office, as has Drew and most of the engineers at Marketplace for the past 2 years. I'm going to take the money and the 5 days a week in the office because you know what? It's pretty relaxed in the office. You roll in at 11:30, 12 o'clock. You're out there at 2:30, quarter to three. Boom, done. Shh. Anybody in St. Paul listening, don't pay any attention to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a real homebody. I like to be at home.
Fair enough. I get too distracted at home, honestly. It's like, oh, I have to go put the laundry in, and oh, I could wipe up the kitchen table, or oh, I need to, you know, vacuum, or oh, I need to, you know, whatever. Go to the fridge and have a snack. I get too distracted.
That's the thing. Nobody can complain about me microwaving fish in my own house, Kai.
Oh, man. That's true. Although if Jasper could speak, well, he'd probably want some of the microwave fish. That's neither.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
You would. Drew?
Okay.
Art museum or natural history museum?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's a good question.
Art museum.
I would say art now for sure, yeah. Yeah, yep.
Although I do love a natural history museum. Museum of Natural History. Do you ever see that movie, We're Back, A Dinosaur Story?
I did not.
You know, anyway. Side thing. Right. Meanwhile, go ahead. Drew, what else?
Fiction or nonfiction?
Fiction, 100%. Science fiction and fantasy, to be specific.
Oh, interesting. So I'm nonfiction with the exception of good science fiction, actually. So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely love the escapism, world building, total different thing. I'm definitely a lot more in the fantasy realm because science fiction ends up sometimes being too much like real life. Like, so many things that we're going through these days remind me of Octavia Butler. I'm just like, this is where we are.
Yeah. Wait, what's the difference between, all right, this is going to make me sound like an idiot. What's the difference between fantasy and science fiction?
So fantasy tends to be like mythical creatures, dragons, magicians, like medieval-ish things. Game of Thrones is sort of example. It is fantasy. I'm just not a fan of those books. Whereas science fiction is the Foundation series or Star Trek, that kind of stuff.
Yep, gotcha. All right, mm-hmm. Gotcha. Thank you.
Mashed potatoes or French fries?
French fries.
It's kind of situational, right? I mean, burger and fries, yes, but also mashed potatoes and, you know, I don't know, like a roast chicken or something. But if I have to pick one, which I do, because that's the point of this game, French fries.
It is.
French fries. Yeah, it is. French. Now, good French fries,
although I'll
fries,
make an
right?
argument like, for sweet potato fries.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or garlic fries. You know, fries in all their panoply of varieties.
Fries.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but fries, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Last one.
What else?
Sharkano or Sharknado?
All right, you have to explain this one, Healer. You have to explain this one, Kimberly. Go.
Okay. Man. So yesterday I was obsessed a little bit with this story about the Sharkano, which is apparently this underwater volcano that's like erupts on a regular basis, but there are also sharks living in the Sharkano. Well, that's why they call it a Sharkano, because it's an underwater volcano with actual sharks in it, and it's a real thing. And it erupted and it was captured from space, like NASA satellites captured it. And so unlike Sharknado, Sharkado is a real thing. And I think it's pretty great. So I'm going to go with Sharkado.
Me too, because the whole Sharknado thing was just bizarre and weird. And
yeah, that was weird.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah, that was weird.
And overdone.
That's where we are.
Overdone.
Way overdone. Yes. Yeah, way overdone. I don't even know how many of those movies there were, but it was that many too many. That's all I'm saying. All right, and you know what? That is all I'm saying, because we're done for today. But we're not leaving without a shout-out to Tiffany Bowie. She's our intern. It's her last day today. She's been here for a couple of months. And
yay, Tiffany.
We wish her well, and we say thank you for all that you brought to us, which was invaluable. So good to have her on board.
You're awesome, Tiffany. And for those who will never have the pleasure of being on a Zoom call with her, she has the most like amazing, colorful background for her Zoom with like excellent decor, like on point.
Excellent decor. Totally true.
Yes. Totally yes, true. Yes, yes. Okay, so we will be back on Tuesday. Monday is a holiday, so we'll be not here at all. And we will, sort of, I will be here.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yes, and thank you for that.
No worries. In the break, if you have thoughts or questions you want to share, you can send those to us, voicemail, voice message, makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can call us 508-827-6278. 508, you be smart.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our intern this very one last time is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, the senior producer and person in charge of, well, this podcast anyway, is Bridget Botten.
The team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, Isabel Linden, and Emily McCune, with the theme music written by Drew Jostad. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Another Friday in the books. How's that rusty nail going down? Smoother now?
Very slowly, but definitely smoother. It's got a giant ice cube in it that's starting to mellow it out a bit. But wow.
Yep. Good for you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.